Well, Baruch, thank you for taking the time to visit with me. I'm Rick Joyner from Bible Study Company, and just wanted to bring up a couple of things before we get started. We've had a number of questions come in over time, and they have a theological nature to them, and they're kind of tough to wrestle with. And I know of no better person than to contact my good friend, Dr. Baruch Korman of Love Israel. Love Israel is literally a worldwide organization, and we highly recommend that you go to loveisrael.org and make sure you check out the YouTube channel that he has. I'll link it down below so that you guys can go and like and subscribe to his work. We've been friends for quite a while, and we are very thankful for Baruch in showing us how to study scripture, to live a praiseworthy life, to find the plans and purposes of God. Now, the other thing is, we would really like you to support his organization, support ours as well, but we really like you to support his. And so again, we thank you guys for attending. Now, you're going to hear several different questions that pop up, and as we go forward, we'll just talk about what those questions are. So do you want to tackle the first one, which has two parts for me?
Well, first of all, hi, Rick. Shalom to you from Israel. I appreciate those kind words. It's always delightful for me to be with you and especially with your wife, Mary, when Rivka and I and all of us are together. But I guess it's just you and me right now. So yes, let's begin and tackle that first question.
And I agree with you that that Mary's much nicer than me.
I didn't say that. I just said it was always nice when the four of us are together, too.
I just added that in. So okay, so Dr. Michael Heiser, as you know, has burst onto this theological scene, if you want to call it that. He's written two books. One is called The Unseen Realm, which is used a lot. It's quite a tome, but it's used a lot in academic circles to discuss certain aspects of the Old Testament and Hebrew language. The other book he's written, well, and he's probably got other ones, but is a slimmed down version of that called The Supernatural. Now, I'm in seminary, and one of our seminary, we were required to study this book and do a book report on it. Now, his central thesis is that in Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image," his thesis happens to be that the us there is the divine council. And so my very first question is, briefly, if you could tell us a little bit about the divine council and where it fits into scripture. And I'll give everybody a hint that it doesn't fit here, and there's a reason why that is, but we'll also explain it. So, can you tell us why the divine council fits into this, not doesn't fit into this, but what the divine council is?
Well, I think you asked a couple different questions. In Daniel chapter 7, we see that there were thrones set up and those who sat upon the throne in the heaven. And therefore, we're talking about thrones in the plural, and it seems to be that there's some meeting, some council, as he coins, to refer to perhaps a heavenly council that sits with God, and not that God needs help to make decisions, but simply we see that description in the scripture. So that's one interpretation of that. It talks about the sons of God. We see that in a couple different ways playing out in the scripture, terms relating to that. But with your permission, Rick, let's look. And if you have your Bible, it might help us. I'm looking at the Hebrew text, and I think we see the same thing in the English or whatever language someone has. But this is a great example, in my opinion, and I'm not trying to be unkind to anyone. That's not my heart. That's not my desire. But sometimes people coin something, and then because this is kind of their pet thing, they like to see that in many different places. And the problem is that they forego simple hermeneutical and exegetical principles that have been handed down for centuries, and they ignore that because they want to further their interpretations or their doctrinal inventions.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, because that was one of the things when Mary and I first came to you and started learning and watching your videos, is breaking down what you were doing. And on Bible Study Company, I'll put this link below too. We have Dr. Baruch's 26 or 27 principles on our website. And we also did some podcasts showing how we use those. And that's a really big thing that you just said, because people tend to put their own view into the scripture, and they learn from the pulpits a lot of time the very same thing, that the pastor has put his own view into the scripture, and then that becomes a denomination or a doctrine, but it really isn't. So I think your point is, let's let the scripture speak, which you're about to do.
Well, two things initially. Number one, those principles are not mine. They have spoken of, taught for a long, long time by many people. I'm just repeating them. So they did not originate with me. But there's again, a couple things that need to be pointed out. When we talk about man, and I'm speaking about man in a very broad sense, male and female, as we'll see, let us create man in our image. This is God speaking. The problem is, if it's the divine counsel instead of God, then we have a problem with our identity and who's creating. Let me give you an example. If the divine counsel is making man, well, then you have a problem, because it's God who created us, not the divine counsel. So right there, we have a theological problem that borders on heresy, that God's not the creator. And we know biblically, if we look at Colossians chapter 1, it is Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who created things and maintained things, holds things, all things hold together because of him. He is the cause of everything. So if it's the divine counsel, we have a conflict with scripture. So that's one.
And it's also, and they're also created. The divine counsel is part of God's heavenly family, and they're created.
That's right. We're not talking about the Godhead, also referred to as the Trinity. And many people will ask, do I believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? Yes, I do.
Perfect. Me too. Yep.
But let's look at this. And here again, if we just allow the scripture and how the Holy Spirit inspired it to be written down, it clarifies something. And the problem is, people run to their pet terms, their doctrines and such, rather than examining the scripture. So let's do that. Go to, if you could, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. And these two verses clarify something. So let's begin. Vayomer Elohim. And God said, Naaseh Adam, let us make man be samenu in our image. And then it says, kidmutenu, in accordance to our likeness. Now, this is important, because we see in verse 26, our image, our likeness. But now let's go down to verse 27. And we see here, and God created man, same thing, vayivra, instead of naaseh, we see a different verb. Instead of make, it's the word create. And God created the man, notice what it says, not betzalmenu, but betzalmo, in his image. Mm-hmm. So this tells us something very important. In verse 27, we learned that God created man in his image, in the image of God. So the problem is, if we interpret verse 26 and say this is the divine counsel, we have a conflict. Verse 27 says it's in the image of God. And exactly. Verse 26, it's in the image of us. So verse 26, for these two to be in agreement and scripture's not at odds with one another, the us there must refer to God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. So we are created in the image of God. Of course, that word image, Salem, has to do with reflect. We're called to reflect the character, the holiness, the righteousness. That's how God originally created us before sin attacked that purpose. None of this surprised God. But here we can look at the text and say undeniably the divine counsel, as this individual says, cannot be the interpretation of Genesis 1, verse 26.